Good morning. Today's Daf and Baba Kama Chaf Aleph. We're in Chaf Amud Beis. We're in the middle of one of the most popular sugyas here in the Masechta, and then that is Zen Enev Azelo Chaser. Okay, we got onto this discussion because of the Mishnah. I'll connect that those two dots in just a moment. Zen Enev Azelo Chaser, very fundamental question in terms of my obligation to pay you. Is it based on the fact that I benefited, or is it based on the fact that I caused you a loss? Okay, usually the two go hand in hand. Right, it's normally zen and vizeh chaser. That's normally the relationship between where I gain something from you, so I benefited, and chaser, and you were actually experiencing loss, and therefore I'm compensating for that loss, and on top of that I'm also benefiting. But what if we decoupled? What if it's zen and vizeh lo chaser? Now we could also go in the other direction as well. It happens to be the Gemara does not discuss the other direction. All the Rishonim do, but the Gemara does not. Therefore, for the Daf Yomi purposes, we're not going to discuss it. But we're going to be focusing on zeh nenev zeh lo chaser. What if I get benefit, but it doesn't cost you anything? Okay, simple example, the one I gave yesterday, I'm going to just reiterate. And that is that you're traveling anyway from Jersey to New York. Right? Of course, I'm giving this example speaking from Boca Raton, Florida. So you're traveling from Jersey to New York, and it happens to be that somebody finds out and he catches a ride with you. Okay, it didn't cause you to go out of your way whatsoever. And then you hit the toll, and now you're going over the toll, and you turn over to him, and you say, hey, would you mind sharing in the toll? And the passenger says, what are you talking about? You would have done this anyway. Yes, I'm benefiting, zenene, but zelo chaser, meaning you would have driven anyway, and it didn't cause you any kind of loss whatsoever. And so why should I make a contribution? Yes, I'm benefiting, zenene, however, zelo chaser. And so over here, so is the obligation for the passenger to pay just simply based on hana? Do we isolate hana, and that in itself is a mechayev? That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is no. The only reason why I have to pay somebody is because of the loss I created for that other individual. If that other individual did not experience a loss, I don't need to pay. In other words, there's no chaser. I benefited, good. It's great that I benefited. But he didn't lose anything, good. So it is really such a fundamental question, and it's really hard to answer, and you're going to see over the course of today's daf. Right, we discussed it yesterday. We're going to finish up yesterday's daf. We're going to continue today. And you're going to see the Gemara is really going to struggle with this question because it's such a difficult question. Now, how do we get here? So we got here because of the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah discusses a similar scenario, but it's not exactly the same, and the Gemara notes that. Our Mishnah talks about a case where my animal goes into Rosh Hashanah and eats somebody's food in a Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah said, I don't have to pay for Nezek. Now, I do have to pay for a Nah. Okay, and you remember yesterday's stuff, we went over what exactly is the financial difference between Nezik versus Hana, but I don't pay for Nezik, but I have to pay for Hana. So with the Mishnah's case is Zen Enev Zelo Chaser. And the Gemara deliberated that very point. Really? The Mishnah's talking about Zen Enev Zelo Chaser, he's eating my food, and that falls under the category of Zelo Chaser? Okay, so go back to yesterday's stuff where the Gemara tried to make this analogous to our discussion over here. It was challenging, to say the least. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday with the words Tanan were in Chaf Amud Beis. It's towards the top of the Amud, the Mishnah. The Mishnah Baba Basra, it's right in the beginning of the Masechta. Makiv Chaver Mishal Shru Chosa, Vigadis Rishon Vesashni Vesashishis. So Ein Mechayiv Enoso. So let's say I'm nearly landlocked. Okay, so my property is surrounded on three sides. Not four sides, but on three sides. And the Reuven, let's say, owns the three exterior properties, and Shimon is right there in the middle, nearly landlocked, three quarters landlocked. And so now Reuben is building a fence. Now Shimon obviously is going to be benefiting from that fence, right? Well, not really. In other words, Shimon has a side that's totally exposed. So really, Reuben's building the fence for himself. But the Gemara now makes the following deal. Ka revias mechayvenoso. So now, if Reuven were to build not three walls, but four walls, and making a perfect landlock of Shimon's property on the interior property, so then Reuven would have to pay. And Shimon would have to pay for those fences, even though Reuven would have put up those fences anyway. But Shimon's got to pay. Why? Because Shimon benefited. And so what do you see over here? That you have to pay for Hana. In other words, once you experience Hana, you have to pay, even though Zelo Chaser. The truth of the matter is that Reuven would have had to put out those expenses anyway. So Shmamina Zenena Vizelo Chaser Chayev. So that seems to be a wonderful proof that Zenena Zelo Chaser is in fact obligated Chani Asam. And the Gemara says no. Da Amrle Adgaram Tali Akefi Yasera. In other words, what Reuven will tell Shimon is the following: had it not been for your property, I would have had to put up only one layer of walls. Now that I'm separating between my property and your property, I have to put up two layers of walls. Okay, see Rashi over here. Why exactly? When I'm creating walls between properties, there has to be not one, but two different layers of walls. Okay, Rashi explains it. But anyway, but the point is that the Gemara says that's not a case of Zenen Vizelo Chaser. That's a case of Zenen Vize Chaser. It actually cost me more because I'm creating a barrier between my property and your property. Tashma. I'm Rav Yosef. Okay, so now we move on to the second part of the Mishnah there in Baba Basra. Again, Reuven owns three properties, nearly landlocking Shimon, who's on the interior. Okay, and Reuven built walls on sides 1, 2, and 3. Now, what if Shimon looks at the situation and Shimon says, hey, you know what? I wasn't going to fence my whole property. But now all I got to do is just one side. So Shimon now goes and fences the fourth side. So now Reuven can say, oh, really? Interesting. So now you're using my three walls that I made really for me, not for you. But clearly you're in favor of it. So now, according to Rabbi Yossi in that Mishnah Baba Basra, so Reuven can invoice Shimon. And Reuven will now send an invoice to Shimon saying, hey, you know, when I built my three fences along your property, I was doing it for me. But clearly now you benefited from it because you went ahead and you built that fourth wall, bordering the fourth side. So now clearly you enjoyed my fences on 1, 2, and 3. Okay, so here's now an invoice for 1, 2, and 3. Now, by the way, when he invoices, obviously he's only going to be invoicing for half of it, but still. In other words, you are benefiting from my first, second, and third wall. So over here, there seems to be a very good raya that Zenen Vizelo Chaser. So you're chayev, right? Shimon, the interior, benefited. Shimon did not. Reuven would have built those walls anyway. So that's hana. There's no chisaron, and there's a chayev. Okay, good. So again, there seems to be another proof. So time of the gadar nikav hamakev pater. So Shmamina Zenen Vizelo Chaser Pater. Okay, now the Gemara goes one step further. Okay, right. I should have read ahead. And the Gemara says is that the diuk in Rabbi Yossi is that if the Nikav goes down and makes a wall. But what if Reuven builds a fourth wall? So the diuk now is that if Reuven builds a fourth wall, he'd be Pater. So the Gemara says, and therefore Zenen Vizelo Chaser Pater. So Shani Hasa Mamrlay, Lididi Sagalibinatira Barzuza. So the Gemara says, well, here's what Shimon could say to Reuven. Meaning, I know you built four walls around me. In other words, you own four properties surrounding my property. You landlocked my property. And you built the fencing. And I do benefit from the fencing, but I'm not going to pay you. Why? Not because Zenen Vizelo Chaser is Pater, but because had it been up to me, I wouldn't have put up that fancy fencing. Look at that fancy fencing. Okay? In our tiny little community. Not that I keep up with what happens around town. And but it happens to be, right? I know precious little, but it happens to be that I know a couple of occasions where neighboring people were arguing over what's going to be the fence separating our property, right? Is it going to be a fence? I'm sure you hear this all the time, right? Is it going to be a fancy fence? Is it going to be an inferior fence? And so over here, the Gemara says that's exactly what Shimon will tell Reuven. Look, I know you built walls around my property. I know I benefited from those walls, but it had it been up to me, Barzuza, I would have put up the cheapest partition. You decided, you elected to make something nice and fancy. I'm not paying for that. Okay. So where are we right now? The Mishnah Baba Basra is touching on the topic of Zenen Vizelo Chaser, but the Gemara sidesteps, and the Gemara says that from that Mishnah, we cannot conclude. How about this? The Mishnah Baba Mitzia. So the Tashma. So this Mishnah Baba Mitzia is deep, deep in the Masechta, towards the end of the Masechta. Kuf Yud Zayin. Habayis v'aliyah shoshnayim. So let's say I have a two-story building, okay, and one person owns floor number one, another person owns floor number two. Shenaflu, and now what happens is a total collapse of the entire building. So Amar Baliyah Labalabayis Liv knows. V'hu in a rotzeh. So now the second floor says to the first floor, let's rebuild. So and the owner of the first floor says, no, I don't want to interrupt them, so I'm not interested. Okay, so now what the second story person does, and he decides, you know what, I really like the house. I'm gonna rebuild it. Obviously, he's gonna lay out all the money to be rebuilding the first and second floor. Okay, now Eina Rotsa Hare Bal Halia Bona Bayis. Now the Yosheba Achi Tein Lo Yitziosav. Now what the what the second story person is going to do, rebuild the entire property, lay out all the money, all the capital in order to build both floors. And now as far as the first person, he's looking at it and he's saying, hey, that's so good, right? You rebuilt our house? Okay, so now the second floor can say to the first floor, wait 1 second. If you want to move back in, you're going to pay me all the cost of building. You'll pay me the capital. So, So Yitziyasav, hu demechayv lei balabayis ha'scharo lo. Now, what if the first floor decides, you know what? Let's hold off on me laying out all the capital. The second floor laid out all the capital. The first floor comes back in and says, you know what? I'm going to move back in. He's like, what are you talking about? You're going to move back in. Are you crazy? In other words, I laid out all the money. In other words, if you want to move back in, you're going to give me half the expenses in order to move back in. The Gemara is medayik that the first floor only has to pay back capital. But let's say the first floor decided, you know what? I'm going to squat on that first floor. It was mine anyway. I'm going to squat on that first floor. It sounds like as a deek in that Mishnah Bava Metzia that the first floor does not have to pay for rent. In other words, of course, he has to pay for the capital, but he doesn't have to pay rent. So Shmamina Zenene Vezelo Chaser Pater. So it certainly sounds like this is a case of Zenene Vezelo Chaser, meaning on the capital, obviously, you have to pay. But on the rent, look, it's anyway, it's vacant, it's unoccupied. Not to pay for it. So Shani Hasam Debeso Laliyah Mishtabed. So the Gemara says, no. So that's different over there. So look, consider the following. In other words, in the first floor, second floor relationship, so there's a certain shibud, meaning that in order for the second floor to exist, there has to be a first floor. You cannot look at the two of them independent one of the other. The second story cannot exist on its own. It's not going to float in the air. So in other words, there's a certain amount of service that the first floor is providing for the second floor. Now the first floor wants to go back and move back in, and he doesn't have to pay rent. It's not analogous to our discussion. Our discussion over here is where I'm going into a house that I literally have no attachment to. I mean that here physically, and I mean emotionally as well. So over there in such a scenario, that's what we're discussing. Zenene v'zelo chaser, right? It belongs to somebody else. It's totally unoccupied. He's not looking to rent it out. I benefit. Zenene v'zelo chaser. But over here, first floor, second floor, you can't have a second floor without a first floor. So it's not comparable. Okay, so Toshma Rabbi Yudamer, Avzeh Adar B'chatzah Chaver Shalom Midat Tzarech La Lo Soschar. So Shema Minah, Zenene V'zelo Chaser Chayev. So the Gemara says, okay, but that Mishnah Bava Metzia, Rabbi Yehuda's position is that if the first floor is going to be moving back into his first floor, he, in fact, does have to pay rent. He has to pay rent. So Zenene V'zelo Chaser, and meanwhile, you're Chayev. So Shani Hasa Mishum Shacharisa Deishaisa. So the Gemara says, well, look, you know why you have to pay rent? Because when you live in a house, that's usage, and usage creates a depreciation. That's not exactly what the Gemara means, but that's what the Gemara means, right? Shacharusa Dashisa literally means the blackening of the walls. When you're living in the house, or there's a kitchen, I understand, right? Their kitchen is not like looking like our kitchen, but the point is going to be the same. There's a kitchen, you're going to be cooking, there's going to be smoke. In other words, the usages are going to create a certain depreciation. And so therefore, in such a scenario, the Baal Ha'aliyah will say to the Baal of the first floor, look, right? Normally, Zenene V'zelo Chaser, so you don't have to pay, let's say. But over here, it's not Zelo Chaser. In other words, you're literally causing depreciation. And so therefore you have to pay. Okay. So where are we right now? So we just went through a couple of Mishnayos in Baba Basra and Baba Metzia on this topic of Zenene V'zelo Chaser. And where are we right now? We're certainly wiser. We know a couple of Mishnayos now. But in terms of this issue, Zenene V'zelo Chaser, so we have not advanced the discussion, right? We have not moved the ball a yard. Football reference. So and we literally are back to square one. On this topic of Zenene V'zelo Chaser, so do you have to pay, yes or no? Right now, up in the air. So it's up in the air, and now, Shachua Be Rabbi Ami. So Amar V'chima Asolo, Uma Chaso, Uma Hiziko. So the question was posed to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami's response is, if I didn't cause any loss whatsoever, despite the fact that I benefited, I don't have to pay. Meaning he's just throwing out an argument, a svara. The svara is very simple. Payment is a result of the fact that he experienced a loss. And if he didn't experience a loss, I don't have to pay. It's really that simple. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Nisyashev Badavar. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says that I have to think about it more. I don't know. So how does Shachua come to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba? So when Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba tells everyone I have to think about it more, so what did they do? They took him literally. Okay, good. You have to think about it more. So let's give you some time to think about it. And they resent the question. Resend. New, what do you think? So Amr Kule Hashachule Vazli, Iluashkache Beitama Lo Shachanalahu. So his response is that, yeah, I know I need to think about it more. It doesn't mean I have a conclusion. It means that I need more time because I don't know. And when I know, I'll let you know. But right now, I really don't know. In other words, it's such a difficult question. Itmar. Okay. So we're going to be asking effectively, not the same question, but extraordinarily similar. In other words, so what happens now when I'm living in somebody's home he wasn't looking to rent it. It was a total vacancy and I'm not causing him any loss whatsoever. And I didn't even inform him that I'm living in the house. Do I have to pay? Yes or no? Again, this is what we've been discussing half of yesterday. So for all of today, is that none of his elo chaser. So Itmar Rav Kahana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Inu Sarach La'alos Oschar Rabbi Abahu Amar Rabbi Yochanan Sarach La'alos Oschar. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yochanan, you have to pay. The Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yochanan, you don't have to pay. Okay, so which one is it? So Amar Papa Had Rabbi Abahu La Beferish Itmar Lamechala Itmar. Now when Rabbi Abahu says it, he didn't. It's not because Rav Yochanan said it glat. He didn't say clearly, but in other words, but basically he deduced why because of the following. It's a Mishnah in Me'ila. Wow, we're really covering a lot today. But Babasra Bamitsia now a Mishnah Me'ila. Now to 11 according shall hektesh is Elamal. We're talking about the Gizbar over here who picks up. The Gizbar is the treasurer of Hektesh. And he picks up something belonging to Hektesh and he moves it. So he was Mal Behektesh, right? No, of course he wasn't Mal Behektesh. In other words, he didn't do anything. Picking an item up does not reflect Me'ila. Me'ila means that I have to benefit from the item. Alternatively, I have to sell the item to somebody else. Right now, the Gizbar, who is the custodian of Hektesh. So him picking it up didn't do anything, didn't make any change whatsoever. However, Nasal Chaver, Ruhumal, the Chaver Lama. So let's say now the Gizbar picks up something belonging to Hektesh and gives it to somebody. So that is a transfer, that's a kinyan. And therefore the Gizbar now is Moel Behektesh. He was the one who removed it from Rishus Hektesh and he violated the Isra Me'ila, the recipient on the other hand. So he's not Moel Behektesh, okay? Basic rules of Hektesh. And that is once Me'ila is done, so the item now is transferred from Hektesh to Chulin. It's Yotzei L'Chulin, very basic rule regarding Me'ila. And so therefore, the one who was given the beam by the Gizbar is not in violation of Me'ila. Now, we continue in the Mishnah Me'ila. So, Banal Asoch Beis Arei Zolomal Ad Yidor Tachteh Shav Pruta. Now, let's say the Gizbar does the following. Takes the beam that belongs to Hektesh and doesn't give it to somebody, uses it for himself, builds it as part of the house, building material of his house. So when is he going to be subject to Me'ila? With benefit. How much benefit? A Shava Pruta. That's the base minimum amount of benefit in order to violate Me'ila. Now, V'amar Shmuel, so far so good. Now that we have the Mishnah Me'ila, one more step. V'hu shinichla pi aruba. So, where does the beam have to go? It has to go on the roof. In other words, not secured into the walls of the house, but the beam has to be just simply lie down on the roof. V'yasev Rabbi Abba Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan v'kamei mishmei de Shmuel zosameres hadar b'chatzur chaver shalom idato sarich la'alos oschar. So good. So now, what's the difference? Taking the beam, putting it into the wall versus on the roof. So Rashi explains like this. When you take the beam and you build it into the house as part and parcel of the construction of the house, so you have now acquired the beam. How did you acquire the beam? It's called shinui. Shinui. Okay, and with that shinui, so now you've changed the item, so that's a kinyan, and now you acquired the beam, and at that point in time, me'ila. Well before you got any hana from it whatsoever, just using it as part of the construction of the home, so that's me'ila. That's why Shmuel says that the case of the Mishnah in me'ila is talking about, where you laid the beam on the roof. In other words, you didn't nail it, secure it, fasten it into the roof. You just simply laid it on the roof. It is providing shelter. It is providing shade, but you didn't do a shinui on it. So then when are you violating Me'ila? With Hana. A shavar prut is worth of Hana. Good. Now, At what point in time is the gizbar going to be more behekdesh? When living in the house and getting a prutas worth of hana. Okay, in other words, good. Whatever the rental is for being there. So figure out how much time. In other words, do a little bit of math and figure out how much time in which you have now received a shavu prutas worth of value. Once you did, you violated me'ilah. That was Shmuel's comment on the Mishnah Me'ilah. Now Rav Yochanan commenting on Shmuel, I know this is a long train, so now Rav Yochanan commenting on Shmuel says, you know what you see over here? Rabbi Abao was positing this in front of Rav Yochanan. Do you know what you see? What we see over here clearly is that when I'm going ahead and benefiting without the owner's knowledge and consent, I still have to pay. Right? Did the Gizbar tell anyone at headquarters, at Beis HaMikdash headquarters, that he was taking the beam, using the beam? No, he didn't tell anybody. And meanwhile, he has to pay. How do I know he has to pay? Because he violates Me'ilah. Okay, so the Gemara says, now Shasakle, now when Rav Yochanan heard this, Rav Yochanan didn't say anything. So Ihu suffers, the Rabbi Abba said, Rav Yochanan loved my Raya. The Gemara says, but it's not true. Rav Yochanan did not love the Raya. So Ishguche lo ishkachbe. In fact, Rav Yochanan just simply ignored because Rav Yochanan thought that wasn't a Raya at all. As we turn to the top of Chaf Aleph, and Rav Yochanan will basically say, he doesn't say it, but the Gemara says, but here's what he would say, and that is the Shita of Rava. What is the Shita of Rava? And that is that when it comes to Hekdesh, so what does it mean that you took the beam without anybody knowing? Who does the beam belong to? It's Hekdesh. Who does it belong to? It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Right. Rashi writes over here, basically it's in God's property. Right. Now you take the beam. Oh, the owner doesn't know. Right? The omniscient HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know that you took the beam. Of course he knows that you took the beam. So therefore, Rava says is that when you're taking something without consent, without knowledge of Hekdesh, that's absurd. There is knowledge. There is consent. And so therefore, this is not going to be comparable to our discussion over here. Our discussion over here is that somebody's vacant property that I didn't ask him, I just simply lived in it. I squatted in that property. And again, he wasn't looking to rent it, so zenen nevezelo chaser. So do I have to pay, yes or no? Great question. We've been talking about it all morning. But in other words, the Mishnah Me'ilah is simply N.A. It's not applicable to this discussion, because the Mishnah Me'ilah over here, what does it mean? I took the beam without God knowing. That's absurd. He knows. Shalach le Rabbi Abba bar Zavda lemari bar mar bai minei ame Rav Huna hadav chetzachavish lemedot tzarech lo losuschar lo. So adahachi nach nashed Rav Huna. So the question was posed to Rav Huna, and Rechmanis before he got the answer, so Rav Huna passed away. So amale Rabba bar Rav Huna hachi ame Rabbi Abba mari mishmei derav ena tzarech lo losuschar. So the son of Rav Huna quotes his father, quotes b'shem Rav, that if you're occupying somebody's home without his knowledge, and again, it's not a rental, there's no chisaron, so ain't tzarech la'alos l'schar, you don't have to pay. So, v'asocher b'ayis meruvin ma'ala schar l'shimon. Now, if you're, an additional halacha that was said over in the name of Rav Huna, this is now a separate point, and that is that when you rent a home from Reuven, you have to pay Shimon. So the Gemara says, wait, what? I'm sorry, say that again? I'll say it again. When you rent a home from Reuven, you have to pay Shimon. The Gemara immediately is confused. So Shimon Ma'ividate. So the Gemara says, why in the world are you paying Shimon the rent of the home that's owned by Reuven? That seems odd. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. Nimsa Ba'ishol Shimon Ma'ala Loschar. So in other words, if the house was discovered to be Shimon's house, not Reuven's house, so then what you have to do is you have to give Schar, you have to give rental to Shimon. So the Gemara says, Tarti, and the Gemara says, wow, am I so confused? Meaning there are two psukim that the son of Rav Huna quotes in his father's name. One is that if you're occupying a home that is not open for rental, and you just decide that, you know what, you're going to move in, so you don't have to pay. In other words, zen nevezelo chaser. On the other hand, this Reuven Shimon confusion, once you learn that the house really belongs to Shimon and not Reuven, you have to pay Shimon. What do you mean? It was a vacancy, and Shimon wasn't looking to rent it. Why do I have to pay? So the Gemara says, hide the kamalagra, hide the lo kamalagra. The answer is really simple. And that is that in the second case, it wasn't a vacancy that wasn't on the market. It was a rental. The owner was looking to rent it. And now you decide that you're just going to move in? In other words, you can't freeload. In other words, he would have rented it to somebody else. That's zenene v'zechaser. So basically, the Gemara says the difference between the two cases is the first one is zenene v'zelochaser, and the other one is zenene v'zechaser. It's really that simple. Itmar Nami, we're going to do this again, and I'm going to do this quickly because this is going to be just basically a repeat of what we just saw. Am Rabbi Chaver Avin Am Rav Amri La Am Rabbi Chaver Avin Am Rav Huna Hadaber Chatzah Chaver Shlomi Datun Esarch La Losos Char Vasorcha Bais Mibnei Ayer Malas Char La Balim. Okay, so over here, all this is said over in the name of Rav. Or alternatively Rav Huna. Either way, again, I don't have to pay. I do have to pay. So Balim Ayavita Tayo Hachi Kamer Nimso Lo Balim Malan La Schar. Meaning in the second case where you discover there is who the owner is, you have to pay the owner. So Tarti, so do I or do I not have to pay? So the Gemara says again, Hadakaim Lagra, Hadalo Kaim Lagra. Again, if it's a vacancy that was not on the rental market, so it's then Zenev Zelo Chaser, you don't have to pay. If it's a vacancy that was on the rental market, that's Zenev Zelo Chaser, you do have to pay. Amrav Schor Amrav Hun Amrav Adar Chaver Shalom Idato and Tzarech Lalosos Kar. Okay, so here we go now, continuing in this discussion. I'm living in somebody's home. Again, it's totally vacant, and he's not looking to rent it. So I don't have to pay. Why? So over here, a new svara, something we have not yet suggested in this discussion. And that is, ushi'iyah yukasha'ar. And that is that, you know, when you have an empty house is a haunted house. Okay? I know you probably weren't expecting to hear this in the daf. But that's effectively what the Gemara says. Shi'iya yukashar. That you have shadim that are in the house when the house isn't occupied. And what do? They do damage over the house. Right? You go away from your home for a week, for a month. You come back. And what happens? The house is a mess. It's a wreck. What happened? You know what happened. The shadim. Okay? Shadim were in the home. Shadim did damage to the home. Okay. Where do you stand on your belief in shadim? That's a personal question. Why would I get involved? So Amar Amar Baravashi Lididi Chazili Umanaga Chitura. Amar Baravashi says, "I saw them. I saw the shadim, and they look like wild ox. Okay, they damage like oxen. Okay, Rav Yosef Amar. So what do we have right now? A svara, and that is that when I'm occupying somebody's home, again the home is vacant. He's not looking to rent it, and I'm occupying the home. So again, for all of today's daf, what we were discussing is Zenene Vezelo Chaser." Meaning, I know I benefited, but he didn't lose. So what do I have to pay for? Okay, and again, that's a hotly debated topic. We discussed it all and debated it all morning. Now the Gemara is adding another point. And that is that I'm really doing him a favor. Because left unoccupied, the home would be a wreck. Shadim would wreck the place. So I'm really doing him a favor. And on top of that, Rav Yosef Amra Beisam Yasva Yasva. Yosef. And the Gemara says, and we'll make another point as well. If I'm occupying his home, again, it's a vacancy, right? He's not living in it. He's not looking to rent it. If I live in that home, you know what I'm going to do? I'm effectively going to be the living handyman, because if anything goes wrong in the house, I'll fix it. So the expression is based on miyasva yasiv. A settled home is settled. It's got a nice ring to it. So my benayu yikabenayu dekamishamish bei betziva v'tivne. Now, what we did is that we actually gave not one, but two new arguments in terms of that when I'm living in somebody's vacated home, so I'm actually doing them a favor, either by steering the demons clear away from the home, alternatively, I'm going to end up serving as a handyman. Now, those are two arguments in terms of that I'm actually providing benefit for the individual. And that's why I don't have to pay rent. Now, within these two reasons, given the Gemara says nafkamina, there's going to be a practical difference. And that is that I'm not actually living in the home, but I'm using the home for storage. If I'm using the home for storage, does that keep the demons away? Yes. But if I'm using the home for storage, am I going to be there on site serving as the handyman? No. So there's going to be a nafkamina between these two reasons. How governed the bana padna kil kolasa diasme? Okay, so there was a person who built an entire home on the property of orphans. Okay, and the property was totally unoccupied. It was a vacated property. But there was an owner. Orphans owned it. So Agbe Rav Nachman la panemine. So Rav Nachman says, okay, you owe the orphans money. You can't just simply build on their property without giving them some sort of compensation. So you owe them money. So Lema kasav Rav Nachman adabachat sechavesh lomidat sechar. So the Gemara says, okay, so It sounds like Rav Nachman's of the position that Zen and Vazelo Chasu, you have to pay. Sounds that way. So the Gemara says, nah. Ha'umi kara karmai havadari bay. The Gemara says it was, in fact, a rental. In other words, the karmonai. Okay. And Rashi says a group of people. Anyway, they were the ones who originally rented it, and they left, but in other words, it was a rental. So it's not Zen and Vazelo Chasu. It is, in fact, a Zen and Vazelo Chasu. In fact, the Karmanite would give the estate a little bit of money, and Amalei zil paisin liasme. So now Rav Nachman says to this guy who built the palace on the now vacated property, the Karmanite were there. They were paying rent. They left, but it's a rental, and so now this guy who built the palace, so he's refusing. In other words, it's a vacated property. I'll do what I want on this property. And they're not using it. Zenen of Zelo Chaser. Rav Nachman says, no, it's a rental. You're going to be paying the estate money. And if you decide you're not going to pay the estate money, he decided he's not going to pay the money. Velo Ashkach. He ignored Rav Nachman. Okay. Again, if I had the time and I had the patience, I'd make a collection of the number of times that Rav Nachman had to really lay down the hammer. Okay. In other words, he was not light fisted. He was, right? Tough. And so what Rav Nachman did to this person, and Rav Nachman said, you're not paying them rent, you're refusing to pay rent. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to simply foreclose on your property that you built on the estate, and I'm going to use the whatever money we collect, I'm going to use that to pay for the rent that you owe to the estate. Okay. Adkan. Wow. That was long. That was a lengthy discussion of the Gemara of what happens when I'm living on somebody's property and he wasn't looking to rent that property. So it was a totally vacated property, and it wasn't a rental. So I'm benefiting by living on the property, but Zelo Chaser, but he's not going to be losing out. So do I have to pay for that or not? And again, what is at the fundamental core of this discussion, said it yesterday, now as we are concluding, we'll say it again, is that payment that I owe him, is it a function of the benefit that I received, or is it a function of the loss that he incurred? What exactly am I paying for? And the Gemara deliberated that for over a daf. The discussion started on Chaf Amud Aleph, and here we are in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, more than halfway down. And that is a long discussion in the Gemara on this very topic. Okay, and we did not seem to arrive at a conclusion of whether or not you pay or you don't pay. Again, Amoraim, we're on both sides of this issue. We are continuing. We're in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph and going back to our Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah makes a distinction where the animal eats food mitocha rechava, where again, that's shein b'rishus harabim pater, versus sidei, where that's no longer rishus harabim, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara goes and discusses this very case. Amarav uvimechazeres. So, when the Mishnah was discussing sidei harechava, what exactly happened? So Rav says, I'll tell you what happened. The animal was standing in the Rishos Harabim. The animal turned its head, went into somebody's property, and ate food on that property. That's what the Mishnah is describing, despite the fact that the animal is standing in the Rishos Harabim, but since the eating is off on the side in somebody else's property, so Rav says, under the circumstances, so the Mishnah says, you're going to be chayev. Shmuel Amar Afila Mechazer Sami Pater. Shmuel disagrees. Animal standing in the Rishos Harabim. It's the animal standing in the Rishos Harabim. So despite the fact that the animal turned its head and ate food from somebody else's property, Pater, why? Because this is still considered Rishos Harabim. Meaning, according to Shmuel, what is critical? Where the animal standing. Ulu Shmuel Eichim Mishkach Landa Mechai. So now, Shmuel has to also explain a Mishnah. The Mishnah said, see the Rishos Harabim. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, well, the case of the Mishnah, according to Shmuel, is that the animal left the Rechava altogether, and the animal was standing in Sidei Rechava. In other words, a place where there is no traffic that's there. So if the animal now moves off totally to the side of the road, okay, whatever back in the day, was viewed as the side of the road. I know in the past I said sidewalks. I don't know if that's really Sidei Rishos Harabim, but whatever. In other words, basically the shoulder, right? The road had a shoulder, and now the animal's in the shoulder. There's no traffic going on the shoulder. And Shmuel says that's what the Mishnah is describing. But it's not just the head of the animal that was there. It was the entire animal that was there. That's no longer considered Rishus HaRabim. This machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. So we have it right now as an attachment to our Mishnah. Some learn it independent of the Mishnah. Okay, and I know I read that quickly, but the point is that even if you're learning it independently, it comes out to the exact same point, which is that according to Rav, if the animal is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, but head now is in somebody else's property, so according to Rav, you're going to be chayev. The owner of the animal is going to be chayev. It's not Shein v'Rishus HaRabim. The animal standing in the Rishus HaRabim, but since he turned his head into somebody's property, it's no longer considered Shein v'Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, according to Rav, you're going to be chayev. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says that if the animal standing in the Rishus HaRabim, this is Shein v'Rishus HaRabim. Mezer of Nachman Breis, like me, Pesach HaChanus, Mashalam, Mashanen, Ezechim, Mishkachala. Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah. So, in our Mishnah, so we had the case of the animal in front of the store. So, Pshita b'mechazeres. So now, what's the case of front of the store? Animal was in the doorway. Animal turned its head into the store. V'kamar, mashanenes, mashanenes, and mashizikalo. And over here, you're not paying for damages. Why are you not paying for damages? Because this is Shein b'rishos harabim. So now, this is difficult for Rav, because Rav says, mechazeres, you do have to pay. So So the Gemara says is that what we're describing over here is Keren Zavis. Keren Zavis, you have a wide alleyway that is funneling into a narrow alleyway. And and where's the store? The store is right there on the corner. And when the animal is going from the large into the small, so in other words, so he is just the food of the store is right there. You have a picture. Good, good. I'm trying to describe a picture, but okay, good. That's my job. So the food is right there. So and the animal doesn't have to turn its head, and the animal now is eating. So Rav will agree that in such a situation, that's called the Rishus HaRabim, meaning where Rav is saying Mechazeres Yerchayev is where the animal is turning its head. So the turning of its head now basically moves the animal halachically from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. But if the animal does not have to make a single turn whatsoever, that's still considered Rishus HaRabim. Okay. Igadamre, kolamalo pliga de chayeves. Now, a second version of this discussion. And that is that if the animal's turning its head into somebody's property to eat, even though the feet of the animal in the Rishus HaRabim, according to the second version, everyone would say, that's chayev. So keep pligi b'makatsa makam Rishus HaRabim. So let's say... But there is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and that's going to be in the following scenario. And that is that your property which abuts a Rishus HaRabim, so what do? So you make a kind of an easement. Okay, now I'm using the word easement, but it's not exactly an easement. Okay, in other words, but what you do is that you give an allowance for the street to encroach a little bit on your property. Okay, it's kind of like an easement. So the Vahachi Itmar, Amar Av Loshanu Elamim Mechazeres. Aval makseh makom rishus harabim. So petura. So if you go ahead and you give an allowance for the public to go and encroach on your property, you mark off your area where now the public is allowed to walk. So now you're going to be potter, right? The animal eats on that area. From this point forward, I'm just going to call it gray area. Okay. In other words, it's not the street, but it's also not your property. It's your property technically, but you allowed the public to go through it. So I'm just going to call it gray area. So in this gray area, so according to Rav, so you're going to be the owner of the animal is going to be pater. Why? Because according to Rav, it's Rishus HaRabim, even though it's not actual public property, but because the owner allowed the public to go through it, from a nezik standpoint, it's considered Rishus HaRabim. Shmuel Amar Filo Mekatsa Makom Rishus HaRabim Chayavis, and Shmuel will tell you no. It's not public property. It's private property. I, the owner, allow the public to go through. Yeah, that's true. But in other words, but still, when all said and done, it's his property. So, lema bor b'rishuso kemiflegi. So the Gemara says, you know, this debate over here sounds very similar to another debate, one that's coming up much later in the Masechta Daf Mem Tes. 49. We're in 21. It's a month away. Okay, good. So over there, machlokas, in terms of what happens is that you have a boor on your property. Now, a boor on your property, you have no liability. It's on your property, right? Most of us here in Florida have a boor on our property. It's called our pool, okay? So the and somebody falls into the pool. Now, I'm not here representing what the American law is, and I'm sure there are many people here in this room that can tell me the law better than I can, much better. But in other words, as far as halacha is concerned, a boor on my property, I don't have liability for a boor on my property. That's my property. You have no business being on my property. Okay. So the but what happens now if that's a boor on my property and I mafkir my property, but I do not relinquish ownership of the pit. So now, where's the liability in such a situation? That's a machlokas later in the Masechta and Daf Memtes. So Rav Damar Pater Kasavar Bor Bershus Chayav. So he's going to take the position. Now, I'm not going to go through the Mishnah inside right now, but suffice for our purposes right now, it's a machlokas. So Rav, who says that Bor Bershus Chayav, and Shmuel Damar Chayav Kasavar Bor Bershus Pater. So basically, once you know that machlokas on Memtes, so Rav and Shmuel basically are discussing, it's similar. I am relinquishing my property. I'm allowing the public to go through my property. So Rav's of the position that it's still considered Rishus HaRabim, and Shmuel's of the position that it's still considered my property. And once you know that that machlokas on Memtes, it aligns with that machlokas over there. Okay, and I know. Excuse me. Wow. I know I'm doing the short version of this discussion because I didn't go through the Mishnah Memtes. But anyway, it aligns. So the Gemara says Ba'ama Bor Rishus HaPater. The Gemara says no. So the Bor Bershus is going to be Pater. In other words, the only time that the Torah is Mechayev Bor is when it is in a Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara says, V'shani hacha damar alav kol kaminach de mekavda luhu leperasecha. So the Rishus HaRabim Mechayev luhu letorayim. So what Rav will tell you is that this case over here is different. So you have no right to take your fruit and obligate my animals from doing so. In other words, according to Rav, right, when I allow people to go through my property, so that doesn't mean that I'm also allowing more hischayvus. I'm not allowing a liability. So Ushmol Amar Ba'ama Bor Bershus Uchayev, and Ushmol can go in the other direction. Debishlam Abor Ika Lamemar Lavadaite. Ela Peres Meika Lamemar Lavadaite. Haychazi Lahu. And what Shmuel will tell you is that, look, in other words, over here, you know exactly what you're doing. You are intentionally, deliberately allowing the public to go through your property. But when all said and done, it's still your property. You know exactly what you're doing. And so therefore, somebody eats the fruit from your property, so they're going to be liable. Okay, so this question now of Rav and Shmuel, when are they arguing? We just went through two different versions of the discussion. One is that they're arguing about mechazeres, animals standing in the Rishus HaRabim, heads in somebody's property. So under those circumstances now, is that considered that the animal ate from Rishus HaRabim and therefore be pater? Or is that considered where the animal ate from somebody's property, therefore chayev? That's one version of the discussion. Rav and Shmuel are arguing about that. In version number two, they're not arguing in that scenario. In that scenario, everyone would say you're chayev. What they're arguing is that basically you're creating an easement. You give an allowance for the public to walk through your property. And now, halachically, is that considered your property? Is that considered still a Rishus HaRabim? Lema Mechazeres Tanaihi. Let's finish up. So the Gemara says, Mechazeres could in fact be a Machlokas Tanaim, D'Tanya, Achla Mitocha Rechava, Mishalem Es Masha Enes, Mitzid Rechava, Mishalem Es Masha Yizika, Dev Rebbe Mev, Rebbe Yehuda. Okay. So here we have a Braisa. Now, the first part of the Braisa should sound awfully familiar because it's exactly what we learned in the Mishnah. In other words, unbeknownst to us until this moment, our Mishnah is really a machlokas tanaim. Our Mishnah only gives one side of it. Now, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Lazar, Omrim, Ein Darko Le'echol Ala Lahalech. What are you talking about? The area is only for walking, not for eating. Rabbi Yosef, Ainu Tanakama. So the Gemara says, now Rabbi Yosef sounds awfully similar to the Tanakama. Ela. Mechazeres Zika Beneo, Tanakama Safra Mechazeres Nami Meshalem, Masha Nenes, Rav Yossi Safra Meshalem is Masha Zika. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What was the Machlokas? The Gemara is suggesting, I can tease a Machlokas out of there, notably the issue of Mechazeres, animal standing in Rishos Rabim, turning its head into the Rishos Ayachid, right? And that's the Machlokas of the Tanayim, just like the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. So lo, the Gemara says, no, dekule alma, mechazer zikaravi, kishmo vahacha, ubir besteacher kamiflagi, marsavar bir besteacher velo brishos rabbin, marsavar bir besteacher velo brishos amazik. Over here, when the Torah creates liability for my animal eating food, that's when it's in somebody else's property. To exclude? So maybe that's what they're arguing about. What is that excluding? Is it excluding the street, the Rishos HaRabim? Or the exclusion maybe is only going on my own property? The Gemara says, are you kidding? Rishos HaMazik Lema Percha B'Rishos Imai Baye. What do you mean? If it's on my property, I should have zero liability. Somebody puts food in my property, my animal eats that food, my argument to him is very simple. What are you doing on my property? In other words, of course there should be no liability. So the Gemara says, Bereshus HaMazik Lema, I'm sorry. So, Ella de Ofa V'Rabbi Yoshi Eikabainat. The Gemara says, okay, you're right. So, we have a Braisa. The Braisa has a Machlokas. We don't know what the Machlokas is. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Machlokas is. The Machlokas is Ilfa and Rav Yochanan. Now this takes us back to the Gemara and Daf Chaf, otherwise known as yesterday's Daf. So what remember recalling yesterday? So we had a case where there was food on the back of one animal, and another animal climbed the back of that first animal in order to eat the food. So my animal ate the food. Now they were both in the Rishos, both animals were in the Rishos HaRabim. However, the food currently was situated on somebody's animal. Can that somebody's animal constitute his private property? Machlokas between Elf and Rav Yochanan. The Gemara now is suggesting that's exactly the machlokas in the Braisa. That if my animal eats food off another person's animal, is that considered Rishos HaRabim? Because that's where the animals are. Alternatively, no. Because it's on the back of the animal, it's considered his private property, even though that private property is in the Rishos HaRabim. And I could see that being confusing. And as a result of that, that's considered bir b'stei acher, and therefore, liability, your chayef. That the Gemara says that's a machlokas. Adkan, we're going to stop over here. We're going to pick up tomorrow with the Mishnah. A quick recap of today. Most of today's daf, yesterday's daf, today's daf, zenena v'zelo chaser. I benefit, but you didn't lose. Do I have to pay? Yes or no? That was a long discussion in the Gemara, litigated by many Amoraim. Possibly a machlokas tanaim. I'm very unclear about that, and the Gemara did not resolve. That was the first part of today's daf. The second part of today's daf is that if I have the animal in the Rishos HaRabim eating in the Rishos HaRabim, pater. That's a given. If I have an animal eating in somebody else's property, or chayev. And then what we did is that we went over a couple of gray areas. Okay, what if my animal is standing in the Rishos HaRabim, but its head is turned into a Rishos HaYachid? What do we say there? Rav and Shmuel argue about that, at least according to version number one. Version number two, they don't argue about that case. What if I create an easement? It's my property, but I allow the public to travel over my property. What is halacha view that area? Is that by a nezek standard? Is that a Rishos HaRabim or is that a Rishos HaYachid? According to the second version, that's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And finally, on the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went over a braisa bringing down a machlokas. Very unclear what they're arguing about, and the Gemara landed on, they're arguing about the Machlokas of Ilfa and Rav Yochanan that we saw in yesterday's daf.